This is a day that our Lord has made. I pray that we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do in our lives, Father. We just pray that our hearts and ears will be open tonight to hear what you have for each and every one of us, collectively and individually. I'm just so thankful for my brothers and sisters who had a heart that was willing to come out tonight and hear what you had to say, Father. And I'm just so grateful that I get this opportunity to share your word with my friends, my sisters, my brothers, and this body, and the body of Christ. So, Father, I'm just so thankful how you just continue to bless us well beyond measure. Are we worthy? No, we're not. But you just continue to be God. You continue to love on us no matter what. So I pray, Father, tonight that your word will be rightly divided, and that each and every one of us, Father, would glean at least one nugget from what you're sharing with us, Father. So we give you praise and honor for what you've done already, and we know there's just so much to do. The fields are indeed white, and the workers are indeed few, but that doesn't stop your will from being done. So we give it all to you now, Father. In the name of Jesus, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to dig right in, and you guys may be able to grab a little bit more sunshine before it goes down. So tonight, we're going to dig into Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. And I titled this, The Wicked Will Be Judged. And it's not a question. And that makes it very clear, abundantly clear, that there are consequences for every sin, no matter what. And it may just seem like, you know, he closed his eyes on something that we did when we were younger. He did not. The sin will find us out. Always, always, always. And again, he can't look on sin. If we continue to dwell in that area of sin, we know that there will be consequences. So just be aware of that. So there's so much that I want to say here, because with the book of Ezekiel, he keeps getting all these great visions, and God keeps putting him in a position to show the people how out of line they are, and they are not listening. They, you know, he just used so many names to describe them: stubborn, unrighteous, on and on and on. And what I see here, and every time I get to read, I see that was happening then, and that is happening now. And when you see, even if we go back to specifically Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 10, he's showing them, folks, listen, look, this is what's happening. I can't continue to put up with this. I have to do something about it. I can't allow you to go on like this. I can't allow sin to just permeate every part of your very being. I have to do something. And we just go on with our life. He's okay. He's a loving God. He'll forgive me. He'll close his eyes on this. He does not. Verse 1. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faces eastward, and there at the door of the gate were 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azor, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, prince of the people. And Ezekiel, though at the temple, only in the vision saw, because God is omnipresent and omniscient, impressed specific details on Israel and Ezekiel in the vision. And this is what he's doing. He's using Israel to warn the people, to encourage the people, to educate the people about what's going on around him. And the wicked leaders were part of God's reason for the judgment. Ezekiel was taken in spirit to the very place which the glory of the Lord had left, and was given a vision, 25 men who represented not priests, but influential leaders among the people who gave fatal advice to the people. Just going to step back a little bit. In Ezekiel chapter 10, God has selected certain men to bring in to encourage the people or deter them away from sin. And it's those very people that ended up creating a synagogue. I call it a synagogue, because what they did, they were priests. They were, and even the high priest was involved in this idolatry. And these are the people that he had brought in to stem that, to slow it down or eliminate it. And they end up setting up their own little cult. And that's what they did. And it was just pretty sad, because now they were giving the people, and that's what it talks about here, they were giving the people fatal advice. Us, okay, in the old high school mentality, everybody's doing it. And some of us are still buying into that even today. That's common, that's normal, or common sense. Common sense is not common. It might have been at some point, but now we can't afford to look at things that way. We can't. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the power of your mind. And that's what it says. And we're still falling into that same, I won't even say it's a trap, because a trap is usually, it surprises you. All of a sudden, here you're caught. But we're going into this eyes wide open. We're going to these areas of sin. We're being drawn into what the world's convincing us is the right thing to do. Right is called wrong. Wrong is called right. And we know that, yet we get drawn into this. And we can't allow ourselves to do that. And when I think about back in earlier Ezekiel, probably around chapter 3, he was giving them very, very basic sign of how far off the path they were. Things like, he had Ezekiel scratch on this scroll, on this plate, an image of the city, and then just call all the people together and just break it right in front of them. They knew what that meant. They meant that city is going to be destroyed. God brought in examples of how they were going to deal with famine. So what he did, the only thing that they had that they could all do was cook their bread. And at that time, they were given fuel. And some of you have heard this before. So what God did, he said, I'm going to give you a fuel, but that fuel is going to be human race, human waste, which is poop. So they had to cook their bread over manure. And God made one exception for Ezekiel. He said, okay, since you've never tasted anything unclean, I'm going to cut you some slack. But with the rest of these people, that's the only way you're going to be able to cook their bread. And it wasn't in the meal, but just the fact that you're cooking over a flame that's fueled by human waste. That's just another thing that did it. So things like that, what do I have to do to get their attention? And then he exposed them to famine, where they're just water. You got enough water to last you 2 days, and then you're on your own. So when he starts giving signs like that, it's an indication that we're doomed. And this session, this message is not to cause anyone to feel doomed, to feel like they're hopeless, but it's to encourage us that we need to repent. If you're in a situation now where you are knee deep or neck deep in sin, you need to repent, because the consequences are coming. You're not going to like them. And as God's going on and on here, the thing that may be confusing, at least just getting to hear this every third Sunday, it's going to be difficult to keep it together as to what's a vision and what's real. Because there are a lot of things that are going on throughout this whole book. Some is vision, some is real. But you've got to dig in order to know that. But the point is, the message is still being sent. And he's sending in this apostle to warn the people, and they're just not listening. And unfortunately for us today, we don't know who's telling the truth and who isn't. And we just got to go what we know is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that's the word of God, all we got. Because we can't put trust in any man or woman that calls himself a leader or even a follower of God. That doesn't really hold much weight anymore, because it's thrown out just for political gain. I'm a Christian, see, I got a Bible here. Hey, how come it still got the seal on it, you know, the wrapper on it? Well, I wore the other one out, so I just got a new one. But we can't listen to these people. Verse 2, and he said to me, son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give wicked counsel to this city, who say, the time is not near to build houses. This city is a cauldron, and we are the meat. Now, there's two definitions of this word cauldron. One of them you may be familiar with, because a cauldron is a large pot used for cooking or boiling over an open fire. But in this context, it refers to something resembling a boiling cauldron in terms of intensity and degree of agitation. For example, a heated argument or a situation filled with strong emotions can be described as a cauldron. So that's what we're seeing here. We're not seeing a pot boiling. And that meat represents us being in that cauldron, in the midst of all that heat, all that emotion, all that anxiety, all that anger. And we do get agitated. And it may be that the bad advice these leaders were given was that the people should not be engaged in business as usual, building houses or taking care of their comfort and futures. That's what we do. We're symbolically building houses, taking care of our comfort and future. How's your 401k doing? It's going great now, but what about tomorrow? We don't know. When they are about to be cooked like meat in a pot over a blazing fire, the idea could have been that the people should prepare for battle and ready to fight, not focusing on comfort, but survival. And prior to Ezekiel, Jeremiah had told the people to surrender to the Babylonians and save their lives rather than fight and be killed. You'll find that in Jeremiah 27, 9 through 17. These false leaders, like the prophets and priests whom Jeremiah confronted for telling the people not to commit, scorned Jeremiah's words from God and would pay for it. That's us today. Are you listening? Are you listening to what God is telling you? Don't go by the man across the street or the woman next door. What is he telling you? Do the right thing. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's called me to. Pray. Pray. Prayer changes everything. Prayer informs us. Prayer lets us know what he wants from you. You don't have to be concerned about looking around to see what you should do. My political moment, and it will be very brief, is all those people that are out there protesting, pro-Palestinian, do they really know the word of God? And the other thing is, a lot of those people that are protesting are not students. There's some financial backing to get numbers. And for you who watch this stuff, look at all the tents. College students have money for tents. College students have money to just be fed and whatever else it takes during the course of the year. So the enemy is working, but God is in control. And please, please, please don't ever buy the lie that sin is taking over, that the evil is taking over the world. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. So by you making that remark, you're saying that God's not in control anymore. And if God's not in control, we're doomed. But God is in control. Sin is not taking over. There are evil things that are happening. There are a lot of things that are just gone awry. But God knows. God's still controlling this. God's using the enemy as a tool. And he's also using us as a tool. The question is, how are you allowing him to use you? And that's the only person you have to be concerned about, you. What's God doing in your life? What's God doing in your heart? Is he calling you to go forward, to step up, to do something? And he knows you. He knows how you're wired. He knows what he can call you to do. And he already knows if you will accept or not. Who will go for me? I'll go. But you may not be ready. And how does God know when you're ready? Because you tell him. And he will. He'll use you. He'll use us. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to wipe out these things, but we can have a positive influence on what's going on around us. Never surrender. Never give up. Because there's work to be done. And even this morning, just talking to two different people, and I don't understand why God's still got me here. He's got you here because you're making a difference, whether you see it or not. The question is whether he sees it, which is really what matters. He sees that there's a, you're encouraging. You may be a Barnabas to a lot of people. You don't even realize it. You may be encouraging people with your mere presence. And that is true. I experience that every time I'm in this building. There are people that encourage me just by their very visit. And so for the ones who choose to stay home, God bless them. But it's hard to encourage someone if you're not in their presence. It's hard to encourage someone if they're not there face to face. You have there's work to be done, plain and simple. Verse 4, therefore prophesy against him, prophesy, O son of man. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak, thus says the Lord, that you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. He knows my thoughts? Yes, he does know your thoughts. You know, and he's, well, I thought this, but nobody's ever going to know. God's going to. He knows your thoughts. He knows your deeds. He knows your area of sin. He knows what's causing you to fall down. He knows what's causing you to rise up. He's well aware. Verse 6, you have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled its streets with the slain. By telling the people that don't just surrender. Just don't surrender to Babylon. Just fight. And so as a result of that, the numbers of people who were slain were multiplied. It didn't have to be. And you ask the question, so why would a loving God allow something like that to happen? I'm going to throw a word out there. Hopefully all of you have heard it. The word is sovereignty. Sovereignty. God is sovereign. So what he does that we perceive as love, he also is doing that in a ways that we don't perceive it as love. And as Pastor Rob described this morning, the four types of love. And we have a tendency to go with the world view anytime. But why would a loving God, and I'm going to probably say this every time I'm here because I hear it almost every day. Why would a loving God allow something like that to happen to a good person? Everybody's grandmother is a good person. Everybody. That's the law. And so why would a loving God take away my grandmother? Because he's a loving God. And what we don't know, what did he say grandmother from when he took her? Well, I didn't think about that. You wouldn't. You wouldn't, because grandmother was going to develop a heart condition. Grandmother was going to develop cancer. Grandmother was going to fall and break things. We don't see that. God saw that. He says, okay, time to take him out, time to take her out. And he'll do these kind of things, but we don't see that as love. We don't look at God, well, that's not to my liking, so that can't be love. God is love. Bottom line. So when we see things like that happening, when we say evil is taking over, no. We got to understand that God is love and God knows what he's doing at all times. And as we mentioned here, he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He knows all and he's everywhere at all times. So he knows what's going on. So we don't have to wonder. You know, we don't have a clue. We don't even know what we're doing minute to minute, let alone the things around us. So let's just lean on him. Leaders who misled Israel by inciting false expectation of a victorious defense rather than peaceful surrender were responsible for deadly results. Many people died in resisting Babylon, and they got bad news. These are the people that they trust. These are the priests. These are the prophets. This is the high priest, and they're giving bad advice. I want to caution you about that, friends. Priest, high priest, Levite, men. And so Solomon, in the book of Jeremiah says, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? No exemption. No one's immune to being that. So let's not build our hope on this man because he has a badge, or this person because they have a badge, or their position. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. And that's us. Guys, even the best of us on our best day are sinners saved by grace. No exception. Well, he's a man of God. He's been teaching the word for, 40 years. So what? Prone to wonder. That's all of us. And you know, one of the problems with having that badge is people just trust you because of that title. They put total trust in you. And that can be very scary for you guys to know what I'm talking about. You know, they just, with every word, they just go with, well, because he said it. He said it, for depending on what church you attend. And we have to be very careful about that, that we don't get dragged into that. Verse 7, therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in its midst, they are the meat. And this city is a cauldron, but I shall bring you out of the midst of it. And he will. He will. Our God saves. He wants to bring you out of it. He wants to bring you into a better life. And he doesn't want you to exist. He wants you to live. Big difference. And unfortunately, some of us just get caught up into our everyday world and we just accept whatever the world is throwing at us because in most cases, it doesn't require any action on our part. It's just go along, just follow, just like a lemon, just follow along. That's all you do. And so we're getting to a point now where we are so, inactive. We're just selling for whatever. And we're allowing these splinter groups. And you've heard me use the term tail wagging the dog. These groups are making a lot of noise and they're very active. And so we shouldn't think that they're big, they're overwhelming. They're not. It's a tinkling cymbal. But we buy into it because for those of us here in cyberspace there, social media, we are being trained to follow these this nonsense. You may not realize it, but if you're watching, anytime anything comes into your ear gates, your eye gates, you're affected by it. Oh, I just watch it. I don't think much of it. So if you don't think much of it, why are you watching it? And you can see the deceitfulness coming through, yet we give it our ears. You are affected. You're affected. And the idea is to throw you a bone, throw us a bone, just to draw us in. We keep going back for more and more. All of a sudden, now we're indoctrinated into believing these lies. A lot of lies. The false teachers thought that unless they fought, they would be in a cauldron. That's us. But here, the Lord promised that some would be delivered from the city only to die on Israel's border in the wilderness. This was fulfilled at Riblah, as in 1 Kings 28, 18 to 21, and Jeremiah 52, 24 to 27. These were fulfilled. I'll just read the one from 2 Kings 28, 25, 18. And the captain of the guard took Sariah, chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, five men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army, who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So the captain of the guard took these and brought them to the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from his own land. This is what happens when we cave in. This is what happens when we don't take a stand. This is what happens when we watch the world and just follow along blindly. And sometimes, here's the problem, folks. The problem with deception, you don't know you're being deceived. You get along and all of a sudden things start to turn. You say, oh my goodness, what happened? What was I thinking? You were not thinking. You were being led. You've been led down a false path, and that's the problem with false teachers. They sound really good because they got the right words. My ears are itching. This guy's tickling them, so I'm liking it. No, you got to be a thinker. And if not, you're going to get swallowed up. And just all these people died, and they didn't have to. People are dying around us who don't have to. People are around us today who don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We all know some. Okay, now you know, what are you doing about it? Well, you know, I've been teaching, preaching for 6 weeks now, and I didn't get any good response, so I just gave up on them. What if God did that with us? All right, Richard, I'm going to give you 6 weeks, and if you don't cave in or buy into this, then you're out. We wouldn't want that. We don't want that. He's with us no matter what. Verse 8, you have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, says the Lord God. And I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hand of strangers and execute judgment on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you on the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You will know that. But this is what you got. As you're falling on that sword, you're going to realize, oh my goodness, he is the Lord. I wish I had known that earlier. Because there's going to be people who are going to fight right to the very end. I will not have this man to rule over me. He's standing right here. This is God of the universe, and you're shaking your fist at him. And we were having a laugh about this a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the man with the withered hand. And if the withered hand was there today, we'll be having two withered hands because we're defiant. No, I don't want to live like this. I don't want you telling me what to do. Okay, here's the deal. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior, but I don't want you to be my Lord. Wait a minute. There's a problem with that, guys. Yeah, I want you to save me when things aren't going my way. I want you to save me from disaster, but I don't want you telling me what to do. Well, that's not going to work. It's got to be your Lord and Savior. Savior and Lord. He has to be, folks. There's no, well, I'll take half of that. I'll take 50% of that. No. All in all, not at all. And that's what the Lord sees in us. That's what he saw then, and that's what he's seeing now. Verse 11. This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the meat in its midst. I will judge you at the border of Israel, and you shall know again that I am the Lord. And you have not walked in my statutes, nor executed my judgment, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles, which are all around you. Follow the leader. Those Gentiles are having big fun. I want in on it. Yeah, but there's consequences for this action. These guys are worshiping idols, and I'm judging you guys, but I'm saying everybody in this room has, is, or will worship idols. That's just that sinful nature. So these people were doing it, but they were following the powers that be. So this is a brain trust. So we're gonna if these guys are doing it, it must be okay. And that's why the priest, and that's why the high priest were caught up in idolatry. Because even with their education, their knowledge, their wisdom, it wasn't enough to overcome our sin nature. And that's the case today. What are we caught up in that we know we should lay down tonight? What is it? And I certainly can't judge anyone, and I pray that you don't judge me because you'd probably be right. But the thing is, what is it that's causing us to not surrender all? And I know that's a tough thing, not just to do, but to even say, I surrender all. Oh, that'd be nice, but then again, you wouldn't be struggling. I wish he would take away this thorn in my flesh. Why doesn't he? There's a good reason why he doesn't. Lord, you know I struggle with things. Just take them away from me. I don't want free will. I don't need free will. I just want you to just create a robot. He won't do that. He will not do that. Even though you might think that's in your best interest, there's a good chance you won't like that for very long. Because I don't know about you guys, but every once in a while I like to be in control. And it doesn't always work out really good for me. Because this is a much better way of doing this. This is a much easier way. This way doesn't create any pain for me. This would be a lot easier, Lord. I think you should do this my way. It doesn't work out. I've read things. Verse 14, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those above whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Israel, this land has been given to us as a possession. So we just want to get away from all of that. We don't need this hanging over us. And Ezekiel was told he had a new family. You've got a new family. Are you honoring that? Well, what's my new family? The banner, as it says in the book of Solomon, the banner over me is love. When you go to the reunion, the family reunion, which you will, he's coming soon, is going to say, love, this is your family. But he's giving you an opportunity to start here. And as long as we're so in focus, we're not doing God's will. Because the idea of giving us this, having him impute his Holy Spirit into us is to share it. He wants to overburden us. And there's some in this room who've already experienced that. I will give you more than you're capable of holding or handling. And he will do that. He's blessed all of us mightily. And you know, just talking to a brother this morning, and he made a statement that it's all about the heart. Whether it be physical, spiritual, and every other thing, it's all about the heart. Everything comes down to that. And so allow him to work in us. Allow him to take us and mend us, to mold us, to break us, to shape us, to do whatever he wants, whatever he needs us to do to glorify him. And that's really what it's all about. But again, that is very true. No matter what you're dealing with, comes down to a condition of the heart. You can put that in any context you want, and it's still the same. Why don't I honor him? I have a heart condition. Why do I celebrate, worship idols? Because I have a heart condition. Why don't I love him the way I should? Because I have a heart condition. Why can't I keep the first two commandments? Because I have a heart condition. Shouldn't be. Ezekiel was told he had a new family, not the priests at Jerusalem to whom he was tied by blood, but his fellow exiles in Babylon, identified as those who were treated as outcasts. The priesthood was about to be ended, and he was to have a new family. The priesthood ended. Think about what that could mean. He's going to take away all these so-called leaders, all these thinkers, and you take them out of the equation. So now he's looking to us to look to him. Can we do it? The answer is yes. Will we do it? The answer is you decide. You decide. You can follow him. Question is, will you follow him? Question is, can you obey his commandments? Answer is no. Will you attempt to obey his commandments? That's the question only you can answer. It's not easy. But if somebody has ever told you that being a Christian is easy, they lie to you. It's not easy. But it's worth it. It's worth it. But you need to understand his heart. Back to the heart. We need to understand his heart. Lord, what do you want from me? And it doesn't have to be. His will is going to be carried out. And he proved that in his word. And we'll just go with Jonah. And so many others. Samson. His will be done. With or without you. He's giving you an opportunity to glorify him. Exalt him. Lift him up. The words of those still left in Jerusalem at the carrying away of Jeconiah and the exiles indicated they had felt smugly secure and believed the land was their possession. So they, in a sense, they really treated the land as an idol. He's given us this land, so we're just going to make the most of that. But we gotta. And again, the word that I struggle with saying, because you have a choice. I just want to encourage you guys. Know him. Get to know him. Get to know his heart. Get to know how he sees things. Get to know how he feels about things. Get to know what makes him weep. Get to know what makes Jesus weep. Get to know what makes Jesus laugh. And we need to know this. How do you know? How do you know what our God is like? How do you know how to react in his presence? How do you know what to do with his word? How do you know? You don't know. We need to read. We need to understand, you know, exactly what he has for us. Verse 16, therefore say thus the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you. It is a fact, my friends. It's an absolute fact that he will, even with this remnant that he sent out, he's with them. And they're not all going to be obedient to his will, his way, his word. But he doesn't leave them. He doesn't leave us. And in this case, a little sanctuary could be better translated or rendered as for a little while. A little sanctuary. I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary. So I'll be a sanctuary for a while. Calvary Chapel of Rochester, the United States of America, I'm going to be with you. But at some point, I just can't look at what you're doing to yourself. I can't look to how you've turned away. I can't look on your sin that you're committing and expecting me to just continue to ignore it. At some point, you know, the truck is going to hit the fan. And that's just inevitable. It's going to happen. He has to. What he meant, however, was long the captivity lasted. God was to be the protection and provision for those who have scattered through all the 70 years until they were restored. The exiles may have cast off the Jews, but God had not. This holds true for the future restoration of the Jews. And this is happening in Ezekiel. Fast forward. Are they going to get wiped out? If they do, then our God's a liar. My Bible says that he can't lie. My Bible says he has a better view of what's going on than anybody else. He knows the outcome. He knows what he's doing. This holds true for the future restoration of the Jews. So you can take that however you like. Don't be swayed by social media. Don't be swayed by all the things that are going on that are anti. Don't be swayed by the advertisements that we see. Verse 17, therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the people, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Continue to encourage them. Continue to promise them. I will give you your land. I will give you your land. And after so many years, do you think God's going to change his mind? He's going to just take their land away from them? There's no indication of that in his word anywhere. It's always positive. I will give you this land. This is your land. I've set this aside just for you. Verse 18, and they will go there and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. I'm going to give you a chance to go into a new land. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to clean it up. I'm giving you an opportunity to make things right. Will you honor me in that? And that's what he's calling us to right now. I'm going to give you a chance to go into that place and speak the word of God boldly. I'm going to give you a chance to confront that individual that is totally against anything that resembles the word of God. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Will you do that? I will give you the boldness. I will give you the words to say, as it did with Moses. All you need to do is open your mouth and I will fill it. And he will. And there's no question about it. He's done it before and he will do it again. And don't think that you are not capable of that. We limit ourselves. Well, I don't have the whatever it takes. That's just not my personality. And you say, well, God says we can do all things. And he's not necessarily calling you to do great things. He's calling you to do things, small things in a great way. So you don't have to say, you know, there's so many people. But give me a sign. Give me some wonders. And he's doing that every day. There's signs and wonders right in this room right now. But we take it for granted. We say, show me a miracle. And he'll show it to us. Yeah, what else you got? So he can never, ever have enough to encourage us if our heart is not in it. Back to the heart. Unless you have the right heart, no matter what I do, it's not going to be enough. Got to have the right heart. Then I will give them one heart. Verse 19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. And they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Condition of the heart, my friends, the way around it. Where are we right now? Is it a heart of stone or a heart of flesh? It's got to come from within. It's you. He's giving you an opportunity to decide. Choose this day who you will serve. Well, I just sort of like the way things are. Are you honoring him in the way you're living right now, tonight? Are you honoring him? And one heart means as a people. As a remnant. He's always got a remnant. So he's given that remnant one heart. And I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. He will. That's a promise. And I just happen to notice over the years that his promises are always yea and amen. Always. Never wavers. So if he says he will take that stone out of your chest and give you a heart of flesh, he'll do it. But he needs your cooperation. But he's giving you a chance. It's for your good. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Not just keeping his judgments. They're hearers of the word and there's doers. One gets result, the other gets information. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. God pledged not only to restore Ezekiel's people to their ancient land, but to bring the new covenant with his blessings. And again, we could spend time here talking about the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant, but we're not. It can be quite lengthy, and it doesn't lend itself to the time frame that we have here tonight, but it's important that you understand that. Look at the old covenant and then look at the new and see the difference. Verse 21, but as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, said the Lord God. You are not going to be able to say, the reason I didn't know you truly as my Lord and Savior is because the church that I go to, they did 15-minute sermonettes. This is on your head. He's not going to allow us to make excuses. My word is written on their hearts. And I'm just going to warn them, because of lack of knowledge, my people perish. So he's just telling us right here that you're not going to be able to blame it. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And we're not, the excuses are going to go away. And he's going to remind us that that was done back in Genesis and just carry it throughout. The reason I don't know your word is because we didn't have a really good teacher. That would not be a good statement, simply because he said, when I go away, I will send you a paraclete. I will send you one to come aside you, come beside you, and to teach you and encourage you and to strengthen you. So if you're saying that I don't know the word because of I didn't have a good teacher, you're saying that you never sent me that paraclete that you promised. You never sent me that helpmeet. You never sent me that helpmaker that I desired. Our God doesn't lie. He sent it. It's here. It's here. It's now. And just the fact that the ladies and gentlemen are sitting in here tonight is an indication of that. It's a nice day, weather-wise. And it took priority over a lot of people being here tonight. That's okay. Judge ye not. Verse 22, so the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. And, you know, I just, my mind goes back to understanding this wheel that's in Ezekiel 10, the wheel, inside a wheel, and what all that means with the cherubims and the wings and on the four faces and all that stuff. But it's just so much there. And in addition to the fact that we definitely would like to get communion in here. Verse 23, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. And the glory of God moved to the Mount of Olives, to which the glorious Son of God will return at the second advent. He'll be back. He will be back. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I mean, the only question we ask, how long, oh Lord? How long? Lord, we're struggling here, man. Don't give us something to be encouraged by. And he's doing that. He's done that. You guys are encouragement to me just being, and I know, I believe there are others that are listening, and it's an encouragement to know that it makes a difference. The people who just need to know the word of God, there are people who are struggling. And the only way they know to turn is towards social media. That's all they've got. And that's really sad. So we need to just honor him in everything. Verse 24. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, who those in captivity in the vision that I had seen went up from me. Again, keep in mind that Ezekiel was bodily, he was still in his Babylonian home, seen by his visits. There were people with him. God, who supernaturally showed him a vision in Jerusalem, caused his sense of awareness to return to Chaldea, thus ending the vision state. Once the vision was completed, Ezekiel was able to tell his exiled countrymen what God had shown him. We all are on that mission. We all have that. We all have the obligation to share what the Lord has done. In your life, through your life, for your life, every one of us. Well, you know, I really didn't go to Christian school, and I really didn't learn this about the Bible. And I was born a Catholic, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it all. No excuses, my friends. He's giving you, you're here now. And, you know, the brother was talking about the fact that he's, you know, soon be 70 years old, as if, yeah, it says 70, but he's going to use you until he's done. So don't be concerned about that number. Don't be concerned about the fact that, you know, you're getting there or you are there. Or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's using you. He wants to continue to use us no matter what. Verse 25, so I spoke to those in captivity of all the things the Lord has shown me. And that's the mission that he's called us. Show them, tell them, encourage them about what the Lord has done. And it doesn't really matter how bad your situation is. There's somebody out there who's worse. You could encourage them by your life. And he's done things in our lives to show us that everybody can be a Barnabas. Everybody. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm really struggling right now. Who is it? Show me somebody who's not struggling. Please. We all are in some way, but he's using that. And he uses everything, even those things that we consider bad, he's using it. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't care about the fact that, well, what good could come out of this? Why am I even here? I'm struggling. I want to get out of here. You'll get out of here when he's ready. In the meantime, believe it or not, he's using you right here, right now, right this very minute. He's using you. And even if you only heard one word that I said, I pray it was a word of encouragement, because he wants to use us. He has not given up on us. He is not, and he won't. What's he calling you to? Well, he doesn't talk to me. And I hear that quite often, more often than I like to. He talks to everybody. He talks to everyone. And sometimes we don't hear him because of the noise. There's a lot of noise around us, a lot of noise. And I don't want to blame everything on social media. I'm going to go back to the word, it's condition of the heart. What's important to you? Is it important for you to have that boldness to go into the prison system? Is it important to you to have the boldness to go into the Jewish home? Is it important for you to minister to the children or the adults on the bus? Is it important to you to encourage those people that are shopping in your store? Is it important to you to be that person at work that's, he or she's a little bit odd, but I think they're one of those Jesus freaks. Your response to that should be, thank you. Appreciate that. What it should be. A lot of us are afraid. We all don't have that boldness. We all don't have that personality to just talk about God at work or at play or wherever. But we can. We can. And the words that we need to believe is, again, condition of the heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You mean all? Yeah, all. Doesn't matter what. You are determining what's good and what's bad. A few more verses. I'm gonna stop it there. We're just going to do communion. I just want to read 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. You don't have to go there. I'm going to read that in there. We're going to take communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took this cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes back. So symbolic for you guys who were raised in a different religious system, thinking they were referring to the actual body or the actual blood. These are just symbolic. But it's important that we do this as often as we can, because It's at a point now where we're getting further and further and further away from him. And there will be some who are not going to know. They're not going to know the significance of what we're doing here. You know, you can say this is ritual, this is routine, and we can say that, but think about this is just symbolic of remembering him. It's hard for me to comprehend that we could forget him. This would be akin to me saying, oh yeah, my grandmother, yeah, I forgot all about her. Nobody ever says that, ever. And that's what I mean. And I don't want to compare him to that, but I'm just saying someone that you love so much that you'll never forget them until you're out of here. Continue to love him, continue to trust him, continue to be that part of that remnant that he wants to go out. So if you guys would take it, we don't have any music or anything, so just take the elements and go back to your desk, your chair, and we'll take them together. Please. Lord, we're so thankful for people. We're so thankful for this remnant that you've given us. We're so thankful that you just encourage us in so many ways. I just pray that my sisters, my brothers would learn your heart, Father. They would learn your word. And it does not lend itself to being a Bible scout. It just meaning having the heart to receive what you're telling us. And we can all read this, Father, and see for ourselves how much you care for us, Father. We can read this not just in Ezekiel, but in Samuel, Kings, so many other books, Father, to see how this world is just so deceitful. And I pray that you would just protect us, Father, with that ring of fire. You protect us by surrounding us with your angel. And we're thankful for times like this, Father, where we can take communion, break bread together. And your word says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for sisters and brothers to dwell together in unity. And I pray, Father, this is indeed one of those opportunities. So I just pray, Father, if I said anything that discouraged my sister, my brother, I pray, Father, that you would delete it from my minds even now. And if there was a positive nugget, Father, something to encourage them, I pray that you would just magnify that. So again, we give you praises and honor for who you are. And we thank you, Father, so much for whose we are. Again, may you receive the blessing of all that we've done and said here tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's partake. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out. If there's a question about anything that was said and done, by all means, come on up. I know Mary Lou will. Shall we? just be blessed. Selfishly, I just want to say that we'll be heading to the pastor's conference tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.-ish. So just keep us in prayer. We'll be there for 3 days, and we'll be back, Lord willing.